Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from 16th to 23rd of March 2017. We've got For Honor's 2-year grind, Kerbal Space Program's first ever DLC, Star Citizen dropping DirectX support, and out-of-body experiences in The Division. Let's get to it. Ubisoft are under fire from fans again, this time after a Reddit user calculated that it would take 2.5 years, playing at 1 to 2 hours a day, to unlock all of the cosmetic upgrades available. The currency for the items can be alternatively purchased at the hefty price of $730, on top of the $60 to $100 already spent on the base game. Some of the more expensive items, like emotes, are twice the price as those in Bungie's Destiny. Not everything is cosmetic either, with the better gear coming with increased strength and abilities. This means that a wealthy player can buy to win, leaving a casual player torn between grinding for gear to keep up with his opponents and spending time on saving up for a fun cosmetic. Ubisoft have responded, saying it was never the intention for players to unlock everything in the game. They say cosmetic items are more of an end-game thing, something that players would achieve after playing for several weeks. Game director Damian Kaiken says, "We never had an intention for you to unlock everything in the game. First, that doesn't truly make any sense. We applied RPG mechanics on top of a fighting game in a PvP environment, but it's more like an RPG, like in World of Warcraft. You would never try to unlock everything for all of the characters of the whole game. Same for any MOBA, you're not trying to unlock all the content for all the characters in the game." GOG's Galaxy has exited its beta phase, adding cloud saves to the program along with a host of other features. The feature has been applied to recent games as well as old ones, as well as some games that have never had the option before. Also included are bandwidth limiting, an FPS counter, screenshots, an in-game overlay, and an overhauled chat system. The update releases to the general public next month, although you can opt into the beta now if that interests you. Blizzard are considering making a public map-making software, making things much easier for the modding community. Jeff Kaplan says, "Because Overwatch was made with a brand new engine, this is not a small task, or one which can happen anytime soon. We have this on our long-term roadmap and believe heavily in user-made content, but there are many challenges ahead of us and it will be a long road before our editor can be made available to the public." President Trump's proposed cut for the National Endowment for the Arts could affect game development. The fund makes grants towards college studies for, and developers of, games that educate or promote social change. Non-profit Games for Change has received over $400,000, which it uses to host game design competitions and workshops. Top game design educator University of Southern California received $65,000 last year alone, which was used to support the creation of 2 educational games. The NEA says this year's operations will not change, and they will continue as normal unless the budget is passed. However, it is worth clarifying that this is just the president's suggestions for the budget, with Congress making the actual decisions. In game release and update news, Kerbal Space Program is getting its first ever DLC, entitled Making History, 5.5 years after early access release and 2 years after full release. The pack will add a mission builder, which enables players to create and share missions using intuitive drag-and-drop tools, the history pack, which is a collection of real-life missions made into space, and a set of new parts inspired by the US and Soviet space programs, including fuel tanks, adapters, decouplers, fairings, and command pods. Also added was a scoring system, which will allow players to better compare their mission performances. Lastly, the little Kerbals can now equip parachutes, meaning they no longer plummet to their deaths. A date and price have not yet been announced, but developers Squad are keeping their promise that anyone who bought the game prior to May 2013 will get the DLC for free. Star Citizen will no longer be using DirectX 12 or 11, instead opting to exclusively utilize the Vulkan API. The game's director of graphics engineering, Ali Brown, says that while they were originally keen to support DirectX, Vulkan is a more logical rendering API that will benefit all users. She went on to say that Vulkan wouldn't mean everyone had to update to Windows 10, and also supports Linux, meaning they wouldn't have to spend a large amount of time reworking the game solely for that OS. She says the APIs aren't really that different in the features they provide, and everyone that can run the game already should be able to continue without issue. The much-hyped Mass Effect Andromeda released on the 21st to a lukewarm reception. Some critics have stated a lack of narrative detail, others saying its closeness to the former games, both in the good and the bad, is comforting. Character design has been applauded by some for both depth and variety. Positive comments have also been made about the game world's impressive size. It currently has a 76 Metascore rating and a 4.3 out of 10 user score rating. Survival horror game Outlast 2 has been refused classification by the board in Australia, meaning they have made a decision that it has offended against the standards of morality, decency, and propriety generally accepted by reasonable adults. Developers Red Barrel may make their decision to alter the game to fit within the standards, or simply opt not to release the game in Australia. In esports news, Brazilian team Immortals and mixed team Counterlogic Gaming will advance to the CSGO iLeague Star Series 3 Grand Final, the former beating the latter 2-0 in the final game. Also advancing will be Swedish team Fnatic and French team G2 Esports. They join South Korean MVP Project and Chinese Five Power Club in the Kiev Grand Final, which has a $300,000 prize pool and begins on the 4th of April. European team Complexity Gaming took a close win 6-4 against American Luminosity Gaming in the Hearthstone Trinity Series, netting $75,000. Seven other teams competed. South Korean team MVP Black beat fellow countryman L5 3-1 in the Heroes of the Storm Eastern Clash, netting $30,000 against seven other teams. The Krakow CSGO Major has been announced, with the Asia Miners beginning on the 1st of June, putting up a prize pool of $50,000. The European and American Miners then follow, with the top two teams from each region then facing off against the lower eight teams from the previous Atlanta Major. The grand final will be held in Krakow, Poland, with $1 million up for grabs. Betting site Unikern has added Rocket League to its service, something which developers Psyonix do not condone. VP Jeremy Dunham says they neither support nor endorse the practice, and both parties have stated that they are not affiliated with each other. Unikern have only worked with the Australian regulators on this matter, so you can only bet on the game down under. There is a growing concern among authorities in relation to video game gambling, especially in the wake of the CSGO scandal. A one-off competition has been organised with the ESL that will pit four of the top Gwent players against the wider community for a share of the $100,000 prize pool. The title is a card game based on the Witcher franchise and is still in closed beta. The first round of playoffs, featuring 256 players each from the Pacific and GMT time zones, will take place on April 8th. After that, the top 16 players from each zone will advance and be whittled down to two, those players then competing against the four pre-designated pro players, Life Coach, Trump, PPD, and Noxious. Genius Sports executive Christopher Dugan has commented on the current esports gambling and betting situation, saying without effective collaboration from developers, the picture is unlikely to get better. The collective value of CSGO gambling rings came to $2.3 billion in 2015, and players are finding even more reasons to fix competitive matches. He says there have been attempts of establishing esports oversight bodies, but they are limited at the competition level due to the fragmented structure in esports and unlikely to be effective without the involvement of publishers. Without the publisher's full cooperation, any oversight body is hugely limited in its scope, and one could argue act more as a publicity vehicle as they are not capable of carrying out effective integrity measures. Phew. The top sellers on Steam this week were Nier Automata, Ghost Recon Wildlands, H1Z1 King of the Kill, CSGO, Total War Warhammer, Oxygen Not Included, Doom, Bioshock The Collection, GTA 5, and Hitman. We also have last month's overall top sellers, led by For Honor, and followed by Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, GTA 5, Rainbow Six Siege, and Overwatch. Finally, my favourite story of the month was, a possibly unfixed bug in The Division is giving players out-of-body experiences. After a not-too-complicated procedure involving rolling around and taking cover, the player will then be able to move freely around while their player model appears to stay in one place. This has the effect of being invulnerable to damage, as when another player shoots at you, you technically aren't there and can't get hurt. Now, I say possibly fixed, because Ubisoft's Hamish Bode is saying the bug has been fixed, while the description on his announcement video says the issue could be fixed. There is still some confusion. It is quite easy to accidentally execute the bug, with players themselves possibly not knowing for hours, as the stationary player model only appears to other players, and everything looking normal on your screen. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up to the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. We're also on YouTube, where the show is quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. Please do share the show around to anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.